Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio, and for this month, we'll be in the studio, and we have Karen back.
Yay, Karen!
Yay, and Taylor.
Yay, Taylor!
And Rebecca.
Yay, Rebecca!
And then Miss Tara, myself. We are in James. If you've been tuning in, we've been talking about different testing and trials, and this time in James, we're going to talk about anger issues or tongue. Oops.
Right?
I've had that. I've been tested for all week, and I'm thinking, uh-oh.
I definitely am seeing a pattern in what God has me doing right now in my life for a reason. He likes to help us to remember to grow. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take James. I want us to remember that the book of James is written to believers, and the book of James is written to people that have dispersed all over, and they're in the middle of trials and tribulations, so they are being stressed. And so the opportunity for anger and not listening, not communicating, can greatly affect their testimony and their witness. And so this is why James has written this portion of the letter. So it says in James 1, verses 19 through 27, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted into your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, don't forget what you heard. Then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means that you are caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." All righty then. So that's a lot.
It is a lot.
It is. Okay, so James is telling us we have to be careful about our anger. What does James say about anger? What does he say in general? Just look at the passage and what he says.
It says be slow to anger.
Okay, what else?
Anger, man does not produce the righteousness of God.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so when I act out of my anger, I am not being reflective of God's character. And right now in my life, I'm studying the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm trying to prepare to actually share it in Israel. And been reflecting a lot just on the Beatitudes that he lists. And he says very clearly to the disciples, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." When my heart is set on righteousness, then I will not allow myself to have the anger. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so that's why he says here, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, because our eyes aren't in the right place.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's kind of hard. But I have a question for you guys. Is there such a thing as righteous anger? Can we be angry for the right reasons?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So what would be a good reason for righteous anger? It's somebody murdered somebody?
Right.
It's
rejecting Jesus and the message. It's a different anger than blowing up anger. Mm. It's a sad anger to me if they're not accepting it.
That's true. That is true. Righteous anger is about wanting that which is of God.
Right.
But even we can, in a moment, turn righteous anger to ungodliness. In a split second, we can turn it into sin. So, for example, we can have something that's happening and we know that it's not of God. And instead of doing what we should do, like in any good conflict management class, which I just recently taught on that on Monday night, you stop, you process, you try to figure out what it is that the person needs. Because usually when a conflict happens, it's that there is a need that needs to be met, And because that need has not been met, the escalation occurs because the person wants the need met.
Right.
So if we pause long enough to find out what the need is, then we can see to meet that need.
Right, because a lot of time it's not what they're saying. It's an underlying need or issue that you need to address.
And that can be the case. And that's where we need to take the time to have the discussion and let the conversation take place so that we can figure out what the need is. And when we do that, then we open up the door for righteousness to take place. What happens is that if I act out of my, the need is being revealed and I respond out of my emotion, then I'm going to hinder the righteousness from moving forward. So that's where we have to be really super careful. And he desires, God desires for us to have righteous anger. And so, I don't know, have you ever heard that God is a jealous God? And this is, I think, a really good way to explain it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the difference is between God's jealousy and our jealousy? Does anybody know?
I think our jealousy is coveting something else or something somebody possesses. God's is more like he loves us so much, you know, that he wants what's good for us all the time.
God's righteousness, God's jealousy, God's movement in our lives, God's discipline, it is always for the purpose of restoring us into fellowship. Whereas our anger, our jealousy, it is because I want what I want when I want it.
Right.
And we react instead of thinking of the good of the other or the good of the bigger picture. And that's the thing we have to think through is, how am I processing? Am I really wanting? Is this for the purpose of drawing closer to God, or is it that I have an agenda and I'm trying to force an agenda? And we have to think through that. In the moment, it's very hard, but that's where we're showing our spiritual maturity. And all of us are going to have moments where we're going to fail, that we will.
Oh, yeah.
But it's whether or not it's a habit of your life, and a consistency is what we're looking for. Okay. Do you think that sometimes God wants us to I already asked that one. Never mind. Let's go to this. Okay. What I'm going to do is I want us to read Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. Who's willing to read that for me? Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. You got it, Rebecca. Okay. So what we're going to do is, it actually gives us what the rules are for when you have anger. How do we do righteous anger? Okay. Have you got it?
Yes. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil.
Alrighty then. Okay, so there's three things that he gives us here. What are they? It's
don't end the day in anger.
Okay.
That's a good one for husbands and wives. I think of that one. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. What else? He says, be angry and yet do not
sin.
So he's not telling us that we can't be angry.
Right.
Actual anger is not the sin. It's what we do with our anger.
I think if it's a selfish anger, it never helps anybody.
Right. It's what we do with the anger.
Right.
It is always what we do with the anger. The emotion is a real and authentic thing that God has given us to trigger something. Like, wait, something's not right. The choice is am I going to respond in a righteous way, or am I going to respond in an ungodly way? And so weighing that out and figuring that out in us. So he said, I have listed here, so righteous anger reacts against actual sin. Okay, so whenever I see something that is sinful, and I can react to sin in an ungodly way, but I can also react to sin in a righteous way. So we have to make sure that the choice is right when we're doing that. And so it's the accurate perception of the evil that is taking place. And so we have to make sure that we're pausing and taking time to figure out what is it, and then be able to discuss and dialogue it. Sometimes that means that we have to do research. You know, at Omaha Christian Academy, we had a superintendent, I don't know, probably like, Grant was probably in third grade the last time he was at the school, but I would go and ask Mr. Kane a question as a parent, and he would look at me, he'd kind of tilt his head, and he'd say, you know, that's a 20-minute question. And he had learned as the superintendent of the school that he couldn't be quick in responding when a parent would come up with something. And he had to often take time to do some research, to ask questions before he'd respond. And often his 20 minutes would take 24 hours because you're usually running in and dropping off and you may not see him till the next morning. But he would take the time then to find out and then come back to us. And I learned in that to take that time and to pause. And so Sunday, Greg and I had a whopper of a fight. I don't think we've had a fight that bad in so long. And it was stupid. It was over a cup of tea. Okay, just tells you how dumb it is. And then, but it had nothing to do with the cup of tea. He wanted to be heard, and I wasn't willing to listen. That's the reality of it was, is I was done listening, and he wasn't done talking, and that, and it just kept escalating. And finally, it's like we had to separate so that we both could restore our righteousness. And I sat down at my computer, I opened up my laptop, and this is what I have learned to do to help me to get my heart back with God, is that there are some prayers that I feel like I have to get it out of me, but I can't let it be written, because it's going to be so unholy until I let God deal with me. I don't ever want anybody to see it, but I still need it out of me. I need that tangible. I have found to type them as fast as I can and allow it to come out, and then do the process of I've got it out of me, and then ask God, help me to put righteousness in it. And then I start listing out all the things that I know and respect and love. It's always about Greg. It's our my areas I'm always growing. It's with my husband. And so I start listening out all I know and love about my husband. And I'm typing. And by the time I'm done and I have done where I've gone through the angst, and then I go through the praise of what I know about his character, and then God reveals to me my own sin. So I was ignoring and I wasn't listening and I wasn't validating. And so then the tears start falling down my face. And I'm weeping then because I'm acknowledging before God my sin, and so then I'm confessing, and then I'm finally ready to be restored to Greg. But what I know about my husband is if I go find him, it won't work. I have to wait until he's done his, I gotta deal with this before God. And so I'm just sitting there. It's like I delete, and then I shut my computer. And I'm like, okay, so I just got to sit and wait. All right, what can I focus in on that will distract my mind until he's done? And he walked into the kitchen, and I'm like, Greg. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, can we talk? And he comes and he sits down. And both of us immediately just start crying because we both were idiots. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Scripture tells us that we shouldn't say raca. And that's in Matthew in the Beatitudes. He says, we should not refer to one another as a fool. And that word raca is or idiot. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't do that. But sometimes we act that way. Mm-hmm. But we had to go through the process of restoring and getting back to where we were listening, validating, and not ignoring. Yep. Because if somebody has something happening and it's causing them to get to that point, those are usually the reasons. They don't feel they're heard. Yep. They don't feel validated. And so you got to work to get to that point where you come back to it. And so remember, righteous anger reacts against the actual sin, not the person. And that's hard. And we have to guard ourselves. In this passage, it talks about the mirror and looking in the mirror and walking away and we're forgetting who we are. Well, there's also a psychological technique that it's not meant to be a technique, hold on, a psychological behavior, that's the right word, that happens in us that's called mirroring. And so as one person escalates, it's an automatic, God has created us to match. And we have to come to the point where we don't match when somebody is in unrighteous anger. We have to do the self-control. Mm-hmm. And not allow the automatic response of a mirror, because we mirror people. We will cry when they cry. We will laugh when they laugh, because that's a gift we have. But when it comes to that which is ungodly, we have to make sure we don't allow that mirror to take place. And that's where maturity comes up. Not easy. I'm the first to confess it, you guys. So, okay, the other thing is righteous anger focuses on God, his kingdom, his kingdom rights and concerns, the things that God cares about. So, and using my example of me and Greg, taking the time to pause so that we're willing to listen to one another And then with each other, acknowledging what our sin was. So when we sat down, I told him, it's like, these were the three things that I did against you, and I'm sorry. And then he listed out the things that God convicted him of. I don't ever tell his, because that's his story.
Right.
I tell mine.
Right.
And so we have to make sure that we take the time to do that. And then righteous anger is always accompanied by other godly qualities. Okay? So righteous anger will be motivated out of love, gentleness, self-control, patience, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about last time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so allowing the qualities of God to come out. So what we're going to do is I want us to be thinking that we each have implanted in us the seed of righteousness, okay? And I think last time on the radio, and if I didn't say it, but I want to say it now, when we are growing, the root system is unseen, and we can't tell what God is doing. So with that seed, when it goes into the ground and it begins growing and it's taking root and it's getting watered and it's being nourished, and then it comes up and it begins to form a tree and bear a tree. One seed can bear an entire forest. I mean, think about that. One seed. And so we have to be the one that says, I'm going to be the one who gives the seed of righteousness. That's what we have to go back and ask for. So let's look at some verses. Sandy, I want you to look up Psalm 119:11. Karen, would you do Jeremiah 29? So 20 and then verse 9. Rebecca, do John 15:7. And I'll have Taylor do Colossians 3:16.
Okay.
I want us to look at the ways that God is in us. Wow, we only have 1 minute. We're going to have to do that next time, aren't we? We're going to come back. We're going to want you to come back because we're going to look at the ways that God is in us.
Wait a minute.
We have 1 minute. And so we'll look at that. All right, with this, so as we're going to examine, we're going to look at how the seed of the word and how his righteousness in us will impact our conversations. Can each of you testify to the fact that you've seen the difference of righteous anger and unrighteous anger in your lives?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm not the only one that just confessed that sin and is the only one that has walked that sin.
I had it this morning.
It happens. Sandy had it on the road. She was mad at a woman texting and driving, which is righteous
in
of itself.
Dangerous.
It is dangerous. We're glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. You need to come back because what we're going to do is we're going to go deeper in to see how God is in us so that we can call upon him to bring that out when the anger rises. God bless.